So what we'll focus on in Yeretz Hashem over the course of today and Wednesday are just some smaller topics within the Yom Tov of Chanukah. So we know, of course, that in terms of the story of Chanukah, let me take a step back. In general, one of the greatest misunderstandings we have about Halacha is that Halacha is just a series of do's and don'ts. But in reality, it's through Halacha that Chazal expressed to us a variety of moral and ethical lessons. Of course, yes, it's a series of do's and don'ts. Halacha tells us what we're permitted to do, what's mutter, what's asur, what's kasher, what's treif, what's tameh, what's tar. Of course, Halacha gives us a behavioral framework. But embedded in every single Halacha is also some type of deeper message, some type of moral, some type of ethic that Chazal are trying to express to us through the legal framework that we call Halacha. So interestingly enough, we know that when it comes to Chanukah, the very little bit of the story that we know is contained in the Gemara Masechah Shabbos, I didn't quote a few on this sheet, because it's a story that you're familiar with, of the Chashmonaim coming into the Beis HaMikdash, finding only one pach of shemen, one little cruse of oil, only enough oil to last for one night, and of course the miracle, as we know, is it lasts for eight. That's pretty much the extent of the story. The Gemara doesn't really focus on the military victory of the Chashmonaim over the Syrian Greeks. The Gemara doesn't talk about that incredible miracle in and of itself. We make mention of that where? In Alanisim, right? Alanisim Mimatisyo, Masarta, Giborim Biad Chaloshim, Temeim Biad Tahorim, Sadikim Biad Rusham Biad Sadikim. So we make reference to the miracle, the military victory, but amazing enough, the Gemara doesn't really focus on that. And there's a whole variety of reasons for that, which is not really our focus right now. What the Gemara does spend a significant amount of time on is Hilchos Chanukah. What are the laws regarding Chanukah? Now, interestingly enough, the halachos of Chanukah are brought down in Maseches Shabbos in the perek that is titled Bameh Madlikin. If you would imagine, what does Bameh Madlikin speak about? What can you light with? Now, interestingly enough, the topic is not the menorah. The topic is Nero Shabbos, right? The perek is devoted to what type of oils, what type of wicks are permitted for Hilchos Shabbos. And in the middle of this discussion of Shabbos, the Gemara brings up the halachos of Chanukah. So almost all of the halachos of Chanukah that we have are pretty much found in one or two pages in Maseches Shabbos. I want to share with you one of these interesting details. Tan Rabbanan. So number one, the Gemara quotes, Mitzvahs Chanukah ner ish ubeiso. What does this mean? Mitzvahs Chanukah ner ish ubeiso. The mitzvah is to light a candle for each house. Good. Clarify that a little bit more. What's the nature of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Is it upon the individual? No. It is a mitzvah on the home. This is a very important halach in Hilchos Chanukah. Mitzvah Chanukah is not what we call a chiyuv gavra. It's not a chiyuv on the individual, but rather, again, there's an obligation on the home. Every Jewish home must have a Ner Chanukah kindled in it. Of course, again, that presupposes that someone is living in that home. Obviously, if no one's living in that home, if you're traveling and no one is home in your home, there is no obligation to go and have a Ner Chanukah there. But the halacha is that mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is an obligation upon the home. Ner ish ubeiso. Now here, just to spend a few moments on the halacha, the Gemara is expressing to us the core basic obligation. What is the core basic obligation of a Ner Chanukah? One candle per household, right? That is the core mitzvahs Ner Chanukah. One candle per household. V'hamahadrin, the mahadrin, a little bit better than that, is Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad. Ultimately, again, one candle for every single person. But again, that's still one candle per night for every person in the home. V'hamahadrin v'hamahadrin, what's the highest level? Be'shamay omrim yom rishon madlik shmona. Mikan ve'elech poches v'holech. So Be'shamay will say on night number one, you'll start with eight candles, and then every night you subsequently remove one candle, poches v'holech. So in Be'shamay's model, you start Chanukah with eight, and you end Chanukah with one. U'be'silo omrim yom rishon madlik achos, mikan ve'elech mosif v'holech. Be'silo says on night number one, you begin with one ner, one candle, and of course you add one on for each and every night. So, of course, dramatically, again, the most dramatic distinction between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, yes?
Is this per person?
Oh, hold on to that for a second. It's going to be machlokes between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. It's a fundamental machlokes. We're going to see. We're going to get to that in just a moment. So I just want to point out that the machlokes of Shem Beisila is most dramatic on night 1 and night 8. On night 1, Beishamai's menorah, 8 candles, Beisila, 1. And of course on night 8, Beishamai's menorah, 1, Beisila, 8. Again, during the intermediate days, there were days in which their menorahs overlapped. But at the end of the day, that's the most dramatic distinction. Now, an excellent question that was asked, just from a halachic perspective, the Mahajim and the Mahadrin, let's focus on Beis Hillel for just a moment. Does Beis Hillel say that every person, I mean, if you look at the way the Gemara kind of plays out, again, the most basic halacha is, what do you need? One candle per house. Mahajim and the Mahadrin, Mahadrin, one candle per person in the household. So now the question is, what does Mahadrim and Anahadrim mean? Does that mean one additional candle per night, per person in the household? Or just one additional candle per night, but one for the household? So this is a machlokes between the Rambam and the other commentaries on the Gemara. The Rambam holds that in fact Mahadrim and Anahadrim, just using Beis Hillel for illustration purposes, Mahadrim and Mahadrim means still only one menorah, but you're adding on one candle per night. So one menorah in the home, one additional candle per night. Others explain that no, Mahadrim and Mahadrim build on the Mahadrim. Just like Mahadrim is one candle per person per night, right? Meaning one, right? So therefore, Mahadrim and Mahadrim means one additional candle per person per night. This halacha is actually, this machlokes is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, Rav Yosef Karo, halachic decisor for Sephardic Jewry, holds like the Rambam. And therefore, in the Mechaber's model of Mahadrim and Amahadrin, he holds there is one menorah lit in the home, but there's an additional candle that is added on per night. The Ramah, Ramoshe Israelis, the posik for Ashkenazic Jewry says, no, Mahadrim and Amahadrin means every person lights their own menorah, adding on one additional candle per night. Okay, an interesting machlokas. But what I want to draw your attention to is this fascinating machlokas in Beisham and Beis Hillel. Right? Beis Shammai telling me that I go ahead and I begin with 8, work my way down to 1. Beis Hillel telling me that I begin with 1, bless you, work my way up to 8. So the Shaila, of course, becomes, the question becomes, what are they arguing about? Whenever you see machlokas in the Gemara, you always have to ask yourself, what is at the root of this dispute? So the Gemara says, Amr Ula. Pligi bat shei amorai b'ma'arava. There are two amoraim in Eretz Yisrael who argued on the svaras, who argued on the logic of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. Chad amar, taima de Beis Shammai, kineged yamim ha-nechnasim, v'taima de Beis Hillel, kineged yamim ha-yotzin. So one said, here's what we know, is that the menorah, what's the role of the menorah? What's the role? So, Pesumei Nisa, publicizing the miracle. Good. What else is the role of the menorah? At least at a Mahadrim and a Mahadrim level, it's tracking time, tracking the days. So the Shaila is, what is the best way to track the days of Hanukkah? So Beis Shammai says, Kineged Yamin Hanichnosin, which means what? The days ahead. So therefore, again, on Beis Shammai's model, you're going to light 8 candles on the first night. Why? Because you have 8 more days ahead of you. And you subsequent, what the menorah reflects are the number of remaining days in Chanukah. For time of the Beis Hillel, Kineged Yamin Hayotzin. Beis Hillel's logic is what? The menorah tracks time how, corresponding to? Number of days elapsed. So on the first day, you'll light one candle, representing the idea that one day of Chanukah is behind you. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, so on and so forth. So that's one interpretation of their dispute. The Chad Amar, Taima de Beis Shammai Kineged Pari Achad. Another opinion said that the reason of Beis Shammai corresponds to Pari Achad. What does Pari Achad mean? Kabbalah, which Kabbalah specifically? Chag. Sorry? But which Yom Tov? Which Chag always refers to which Yom Tov? Sukkis. Pari Achag, how many offerings are offered up on Sukkis? Remember again, we have 70 parim, ultimately referenced on Sukkis. Remember again, this is the Sukkis has, the way Sukkis works is you start out with a large number of karbanos and work your way down to how many? One. On which day? Shmini Atzeres. Excellent. So therefore, again, the other opinion says, Beis Shammai essentially models Chanukah after Sukkis. Just like Sukkis begins with a large number of karbanos and works its way down to one singular karban, so too Chanukah will start with 8 candles on the first night and work its way down to 1 by the last night. Now, the connection between Chanukah and Sukkis is not our discussion for today. That's a separate discussion. The time of the Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel's logic is d'malin bakodesh ve'in moridin. What does that mean? Malin bakodesh ve'in moridin. We go up in kiddush. What does that mean? What does that mean? Really, we go up in kiddush. We don't go down. I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hand if that principle applies to them in life. Right, what does it mean? Malin bakodesh ve'in moridin. Right. So what it means is that when we structure our mitzvos, we structure our mitzvos in a way in which the Kedusha amplifies and increases and not that decreases. Therefore, again, Beis Hillel's model, Beis Hillel will say, it doesn't make sense from a mitzvah perspective to start with a lot and to go to a little. The way mitzvos work is you build up. Start with one, work your way up to eight. What's the obvious question then on Beis Hillel? What about Sukkis? So what's the answer? What's the answer for Sukkis? Good. So remember, Sukkis has a different symbolism. The symbolism of Sukkis is Sukkis starts out by us identifying the Ribono Shel Olam as the Ribono Shel Olam of the universe. Remember again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just our God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of the universe. He's the God of everything. So we give symbolism to that with the 70 parm representing the 70 nations. We work our way then to cultivating a unique and intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is Shmini Atzeres all about? What Shmini Atzeres is all about? Kasha Alai Predaschem. Hashem says, I don't want you to leave. It's been a wonderful Elul and Yamim Noraim and Sukkis, and I don't want you to go. So Beis Hillel will say, no. In fact, going from a large number of karbanos to a small number of karbanos is actually Ma'alin Bakodesh Ve'in Moritin. It's just Ma'alin Bakodesh Ve'in Moritin in an experiential sense. In a numerical sense, we're going from a lot to a little. In a spiritual experiential sense, we're going from something more general to something much more specific. We're focusing on the Ribono Shel Olam, who is the God of the universe, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with whom we enjoy a unique and intimate relationship with. Yes?
Rami said that the Torah is meant
to count
days. What does that mean? Because
you have
that earlier.
We do. It's called Sphira. Right? So we do. We have a concept. Now, again, but the truth is, it doesn't have to be. I mean, remember, just because we have it by Chanukah, but we don't have it by other days, that doesn't bother us. Because remember, if you think about it, the entire nace of the Pach Shemen was that it lasted for a longer amount of time. So the notion that we're tracking time through the mitzvah could be something unique to Chanukah. So you might be right. You won't find this necessary. Although, if you think about this on a deeper level, you will realize that actually we do track time by every Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Right? Pesach, we have ultimately, Purim is a separate, own unique thing. But Pesach, we have Sviras HaOmer. Shavuos is the culmination of that Svira. So there always is like a counting of time associated with everything. So again, so we have this fundamental Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, okay, so, fine. So the Gemara then goes on by telling everybody by recording what different Rabbanim did. But here's what we emerge with. On a yisodistic level, on a fundamental level, we have a machlokis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about how to fulfill the Mahadrin min HaMahadrin. Remember again, they're agreeing on the basic mitzvah, Ner Ish Ubeiso. They agree even on the Mahadrin mitzvah, which is Ner Lechol Echad Ve'echad. Their machlokis is in the Mahadrin min HaMahadrin. Beis Shammai start with 8, go to 1. Beis Hillel start with one, go to eight. What's their respective svaris, their logic? So that seems to be some amount of machlokas. Either possibility number one is they just differ as to how to better track the time of Hanukkah, keneged yamim hanichnasim, keneged yamim hayotzim. Second possibility is Beis Shammai says, I'm going to model my Hanukkah observance after. See, what Beis Shammai is saying is, let me find a precedent. What's the precedent I have for something which changes numbers over the course of Yom Tov? Is Sukkis. We go from a lot to a little. So to Hanukkah, we go from a lot to a little. Beis Hillel, Ma'alin Bakodesh Ve'im Moritin. We go up, we don't go down. So I want to show you something amazing. Take a look at number two. The Maral has a sefer called Ner Mitzvah, which is all about the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah. And here the Maral Kidarko just takes some of these, and again, this is why I started the way I started, which is that halacha tells you what to do and what you shouldn't do. But that's never enough. When learning halacha, you always have to ask yourself, what are Chazal trying to teach me? What's the message here? So the Maral focuses on this idea. So what is the deeper meaning over here? Obviously, that in the Maral's worldview, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing about something much deeper than just simply 8 to 1, 1 to 8. So look what he says. I'm in number 2, paragraph A. Keneged yamim hanichnasim. Perush, kishaholeich achar yamim hanichnasim, ki harishom, hu haschala el hakol. Paragraph B. How would you translate that phrase? Ki harishon hu haschala el hakol. So right. So at first glance, this doesn't seem to be like such a profound statement. Ki harishon hu haschala el hakol. The first is the beginning for everything else. Okay, thank you, Maral. Right. The first is the beginning for everything else. Lekach hu yoser b'ma'ala. Therefore, says the Maral, the first, whatever the first is, the first always has the greatest importance. Kiilu bekocho shar hayomim shem acharof. The Maral says, it's as if what? It's as if the first of anything has all of the energy of everything that is going to come after it embedded inside of it. We'll discuss what this means in just a moment. Lefichach, yesh lahadlik shmona, Kineged Yomim HaNichnasim. Therefore says the Maral, according to Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai's logic, the Maral says, is not just a din in Hanukkah, it's a din in firsts. Anything that is first, the Rishon, hu aschala al hakol, is the beginning of everything, and therefore the first, says the Maral, according to Beis Shammai, has the power of everything that comes subsequent to it, embedded inside of it. He says, therefore, on the first night of Hanukkah, says the Maral, we go ahead and we light all 8 candles. Lekach, pariachag mismatin. So the Maral says that this is Beis Shammai's logic. Beis Shammai sees this in the pariachag, in the offerings of Sukkis. Ki yom rishon hu min yemei achag yoser el yom, u lekach hu yom tov v'hu kadosh. Aval yom acharon, paragraph C, afu gam kin yom tov, hu regel bifnei atzmo. So says the Maral, that Beis Shammai's logic is, the first of anything in life contains the koach of everything that is going to come after it. The first contains the koach, contains the energy of everything that is going to follow. That's why the first day of Sukkot, we begin with the largest amount of karbanos. And that's why on the first day of Hanukkah, Beis Shammai will say we begin with 8 candles. Now before we understand Beis Shammai, so now tell me according to the Maral, what's the logic of lighting 8 on day 1? Because day 1 contains the kochos of all 8. Day 1 contains the koach of everything that is going to be subsequent to it. All 8 are contained in 1. If you look at footnote number 38, here, so the Maral expands on this a little bit. He says, the Shon of the Gur, Ari Ebrashis, Paragdaos, Ya Os Yud Zayin, Dover Zeya, paragraph F, Dover Zeya Dua, Shaschalim Mekabel Vakolei Tako. So the Maral, this is one of the general principles in the Maral, that the first of anything contains the koach of everything that is going to come subsequent to it. Shahakol nivne al haaschala. What does that mean? Shahakol nivne al haaschala. Everything is built on the beginning. Everything is built on the beginning. V'chein kasa b'tiferes Yisrael, v'zeh l'shono ki aschala hu ikir hadavar. The beginning is the ikar of any initiative. Mipnei shu aschala al hakol. Ulekach haschala hu ra'a al kol davar umahuso, ki bakoa haschala hu hakol, lefi shu aschala el hakol. Raki, okay, so he goes on, he gives other examples. So this phraseology is an incredible idea. Davar ze yadua, if you go just back to the beginning of paragraph F, you can underline these lines. Davar ze yadua, shaschala mekabel v'kolet hakol. This thing is known that the beginning, mekabel means what?
Accepts.
Receives or accepts v'kolet. I'm sorry?
Records.
Actually, looking for the good English word for this. Like, maybe retain. Like, absorbs. Absorbs. Right? Like, when you feel like, you know. Yeah, absorbs. V'kolei takol. It absorbs everything. Shehakol nivne al haschala. Everything is built on the beginning. Everything is built on the beginning. Okay, so that's Beis Shammai's logic. We're gonna delve a little deeper into this in just a moment. So Beis Shammai's logic is you start with eight because the first day captures the koach of all the subsequent days, and everything that comes after day one is built on day one. Day one again is mekabel v'kole takol. Okay, now what about Beis Hillel? Go to the end of paragraph C. Uleman damer kineged yamim hayotzim. And the one who says that we light the Hanukkah menorah corresponds to the days which have elapsed, i.e. Beis Hillel, ki maschilin bekatan, umesayim begadol, paragraph D, demalin bakodesh ve'ein moridin. Right, so what's Beis Hillel's logic? Beis Hillel's logic is we go up in Kedusha and we don't go down. Ve'ein magia el hamadrega hazol sa'al yonah mitchila. So this is amazing. What is Beis Hillel saying? You can't start with eight. No one starts with eight, right? What do you start with? One, and then two, and then, good, you see where this is going. Three, four, you'll get to eight, but after a silly series of smaller incremental steps. No one starts with eight. You can't start with eight on day one. Raki ola eleha madrega achar madrega ad ha'acharon. Rather, again, the only way to get to eight is to slowly build up to it, one candle after the next, after the next. Mitzad, ki ha'adam nis'ala b'achrona el kedusha yoser. Ulefichach, ha'adam asher hu mekabel hanis, t'chila hu ma'at, v'yoser nis'ala yoser. So let's pause here for just a moment. So the Maharal says something absolutely amazing. The Machlokes Eshame Silel is a fundamental dispute, not just about how to light the menorah, but it's a fundamental dispute about what? About what? About life. You see, what is Chanukah? This is an important idea. What is Chanukah? You know, remember again, Chanukah, so we have Kriyas HaTorah every single day. We have leaning every day. What's the leaning of Chanukah? It's the Chanukah HaMizbeach, right? The offering of the Nesim when they dedicated the Mizbeach. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of rededication. Right, the Chashvonoim come into the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash is defiled. The Beis Hamikdash is in a terrible, terrible state. And what do they do? V'hidliku neros bechasros kadshecha. We Chashvonoim rededicated the Beis Hamikdash. But it wasn't just the Beis Hamikdash that they rededicated. What else did they rededicate? They rededicated Jewish life. You know, I want to show you something interesting, which is if you'll notice again, the Gemara says that I should have put this on the sheet. But the Gemara says, the Chashmonaim came in, you know the story, they found the cruse of oil, they put it in the menorah, there was only enough to remain lit for one day, it remained lit for 8 days. When was Chanukah established as a Yom Tov? When was it established as a Yom Tov? Was it that year?
No.
No, was it the next year? We don't know. Meaning, it says, L'shana acheres kavum. What we know is they didn't establish it as a Yom Tov that year. Now, let me ask you this question. Ever think about this for just a moment? You're running the Chashmonaim. You just saw a little jug of oil last for 8 days. Open miracle. Why not establish the Yom Tov right then and there? Why the Shana Acheres? Why did it take some subsequent year? What's the answer? So it could be, okay, on a deeper level, to see if that koach would resurface the following year, good. There's a simpler answer. The simpler answer is, it wasn't just the Beis HaMikdash which was in a state of disrepair. Klal Yisrael was in a state of disrepair. There were throngs and throngs of Jews who had left the fold and had become Hellenized. To go ahead and establish a new Yom Tov when the ranks of Klal Yisrael were so depleted would have been a joke. It would have been ridiculous. It's not the time for a Yom Tov. When there was a rededication of the Beis HaMikdash, the Chashmonaim were not just simply rededicating temple service. They were rededicating Jewish life. We have to rebuild Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu handed us this incredible military victory. Kadosh Baruch Hu handed us this incredible spiritual victory as symbolized by the Pach Shemen. We must rebuild the ranks of Klal Yisrael. So the Shaila now becomes, how do you rebuild? How do you rededicate? So says the Maral, here comes the Machlokes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. See, Beis Shammai and Hillel, the argument is about how do you rededicate the self? How does a person rededicate him or herself to Avodas Hashem? Which by extension means, how do you rebuild the people? How do you rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? How do you rebuild the nation? So let's start with Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, how do you rebuild? How do you rebuild? You start with what? Eight. What does that mean? Beis Shammai says that if you're going to be successful in life, any initiative must start with a strong foundation. Hakol holich achar haschola. However you start a particular initiative, that ultimately, again, is going to really pave the way for how that initiative is going to unfold. Beis Shammai says you start with eight. The haschola has to be pure. The haschola has to be perfect. You want to rededicate Klal Yisrael, you want to rededicate the Beis HaMikdash, you want to rededicate yourself, you have to start with eight. You have to start with eight. You have to start with a spiritually perfect foundation if you want to be successful. Now, do most people maintain eight throughout their lives? No. And Beis Shammai acknowledges that. How does Beis Shammai acknowledge that? Because the second night is seven, and the third night is six, and so on and so forth. So Beis Shammai says, nothing in life is perfect except the Ribbono Shel Olam. People aren't perfect, the Beis HaMikdash isn't perfect. So we understand, you can't necessarily maintain spiritual perfection, but if you want to be successful in life, when you start something, you gotta have all eight candles. When you start something, you have to start with spiritual luminescence. It has to be perfect, yes?
Like, what does that mean?
Oh, we'll see what it means in just a moment. Hold on. So, what he means, we'll see what it means in just a moment. But what it means is, at least conceptually, is that the foundation must be strong. The foundation must be strong. What it means on a practical level is, if you know that what you're doing is not perfect, you may be better off waiting until you could assemble the right cast of perfect ingredients to allow yourself to be successful. The mashal Beis Shammai would give would be if you're building a home. Right? If you want to put in Formica countertops or granite countertops, is that going to make a difference in your home?
Yeah.
No. Right? It might make a difference in your enjoyment of your kitchen or preparing yourself for Pesach, but the longevity of the structure of your home is not impacted by the quality or materials of your countertops. What does make a difference? What happens if you say, you know what? I want to save someone, I'm going to put in Formica instead of granite. Okay. You could cut corners in the finishes of your home. That's up to you. What happens if you cut corners in the foundation of your home? You're doomed, right? That's bad news. That's the one place you really can't cut corners. Ultimately, again, is in your foundation. If the foundation is not solid, you can't build upon that. Beis Shammai would say, whenever you're embarking upon something in life, the foundation has to be solid. Now, what that means practically depends on what you're doing. Depends on what you're doing. You have to fill in the blank. You're about to embark upon a life initiative. Fill in the blank, whatever it is. Your foundation has to be solid. The foundation has to be eight candles. That's Beis Shammai Shita. Because if the foundation is solid, then what? Then even if you put in Formica countertops, which, I don't know, I guess maybe it's not as nice or it's not as good or whatever it is, your house will be just fine. Your house will be just fine. Even if you cut corners on the finishes, your house will be just fine. The duration will be just as good because the foundation is solid. Comes along Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel says, my beloved Chaver Shammai, of course I agree with you. Of course it is best to start every life initiative with 8 candles. Of course, it is good to start any life initiative, ultimately, again, with a rock-solid foundation. But what's the problem? Right? The problem is, if you wait to build the perfect foundation, if you wait to kindle all 8 candles before embarking upon any life initiative, then says Beis Hillel, you're going to do a lot of waiting and very little doing. You're going to be waiting for it to get all of those 8 candles lit. And you're going to spend an entire lifetime waiting and trying to kindle the 8 candles. And you will end up accomplishing very little. Instead, says Beis Hillel, what's the goal in life? What's the goal in life? Light something. The goal in life is do something. The goal in life is move forward somehow. The golden light is build something. You're right. Sometimes when you don't start with 8 candles, that which you build can come tumbling down. And sometimes if you don't start with 8 candles, you might build one day and it might be deconstructed the next day. It's true. It's very true. There is a danger to beginning without all 8 candles lit. But says Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai, the problem is, I agree with you in concept, but I have to disagree with you practically. Practically, you can't wait to get all 8 candles. You can't see. You know what they're really arguing about here? You ever meet someone, I'm sure it's no one here, but you ever maybe have a friend who wants to accomplish something. And what's the most common phrase that you hear when somebody wants to accomplish something, but they don't want to do it right now? It's not the right time. It's not the right time. You know, if you hear a person say that, you know, it's an interesting follow-up question. What's the follow-up question? So tell me, when is the right time? Describe to me what the right time looks like. And you'll find that a person can really never answer that question. Or what the right time looks like? The right time looks like when there's a northeastern wind at about 5 knots. The sun is perfect. It's 72 degrees, zero humidity. I'm wearing this outfit. I have this amount of money in the bank. My relationships are good. I got an A on my test. I'm happy. I'm in a good mood. I got 8 hours of sleep. When all of that happens, then it'll be the right time. And what are people essentially describing when they're looking for the right time? They're describing 8 candles. They're describing 8 candles. But the probability of all those perfect circumstances lining up before a person takes decisive, dynamic action, the statistical probability of everything lining up that way is almost zero. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, in concept, I agree with you that before you do anything in life, the foundation should be strong. Hakol holich achar haschala. How we know this? How you begin something, very often marks how the particular initiative is going to unfold. So yes, of course, in the abstract, it is always better to start any life initiative with 8 candles. But it is so hard to get all 8 candles kindled at once. Therefore, Beis Hillel says, I have a different approach. My different approach ultimately is what? Start with 8 candle. Get started. Just start. Just move. Just grow. Just do. Light 1 candle. Okay, you only got 1 kindle today. Fine. Tomorrow you'll get 2. And the next day you'll get 3. And so on and so forth. You'll get to the 8. But Beis Hillel says most of us have to build up to the 8. And can't start with the 8. Go back to the Maral for just a moment. Look at the end of paragraph D. He says, Rak, ki olei le madriga achar madriga ad acharon. We get to the 8. But generally it just takes an incredible amount of time and effort. Madrega achar madrega ad acharon. Mitzat ki ha'adam mis'ala b'achrona el kidusha yoser. You'll get to the 8. But generally you don't start with 8. You start with 1 and work your way up to 8. Ulefichach. Very often again, when we want to grow, we want to regenerate, we want to rededicate, we usually start off very small. Paragraph E, V'hu yoser mis'ale v'yoser mosif b'yom ha'acharon min harishon. And we build ourselves up slowly but surely, candle after candle, light after light, day after day. So it turns out that in this machlokes din Meshayim Beis Lavan, how to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, their dispute is not just one of halachic details. Their dispute is one about hashkafas hachayim. Beis Shammai, remember again, and this is Beis Shammai Kidarko. Beis Shammai is a purist, right? In a beautiful way. That's why, again, in Yemosa Mashiach, Mashiach comes, who are we going to paskin like? Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is a purist. Beis Shammai tells us, and it's so important, that's why you need a Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai tells us how the world should be, what life should look like. And what is Beis Hillel? What life actually is. Isn't that incredible? Right? Beis Shammai tells me what life should be, how life should be. He's a purist. And Beis Hillel tells me, Lemaisa, Tachlis, what is life? So Beis Shammai tells me you should really start every life initiative with eight. Every dedication, rededication, reigniting of the spirit should really start with eight. Because the foundation has to be strong. Once the foundation is strong, you want to cut some corners with the finishes. You want to take a shortcut over here, sugar. That's fine. But the haschala, the beginning, must be eight. Beis Hillel says, Shammai, I agree with you in principle. That's the way life should be. Let me tell you how life is. How life is ultimately is one candle. Most of us can't get all eight lit at once. Rather, you start with something, Malin Bakodesh, and hopefully, Ein Moridin. Although even that concept is not always true by man. Very often it's Malin Bakodesh, Umoridin, Umalin Otpan, Umoridin, Umalin again, and Moridin again. But Beis Hillel says, just start somewhere, telling us an incredible lesson. If you wait to accomplish things in life until the right moment, you will spend your life waiting. Beis Hillel says the Jew never waits for the perfect moment. The Jew makes the present moment perfect. You take what you got and you make the best out of it. You take the circumstances you have and you light the candle that is within reach. Again, don't wait for the perfect moment. Make the present moment perfect. That is Shitas Beis Hillel. I want to show you something amazing. Who's correct? So they're both correct. They're both correct. And it's always important to keep a Shammai model in the back of your mind. Because again, there are times in life, there are times where you can get all candles lit at once. They're rare. They're rare, few and far between. But there are times like that. And when you can, that is certainly, because we know, the times in life where we begin strong, the times in life where we have a stronger foundation, those initiatives often endure. But more often than not in life, you can't get all candles lit at once. The perfect moment is just not here. We pass link Beis Hillel, start somewhere. I want to share with you something amazing. You know, in the Hanukkah story itself, I should have put this really on the sheet, but in the Hanukkah story itself, we often think that when the Chashmonaim came into the Beis HaMikdash, the only thing that was missing was the oil. There was something else that was missing. What was missing? The menorah wasn't there as well. Remember again, the menorah was made of pure gold. The Greeks took it. They took it. There wasn't wine, right? They took everything of value. There was no, forget about the oil for just a moment. There was no menorah. So the Gemara Maseches Menachos explains, what did they do? So the Gemara says, in that first year when they came back into the Beis HaMikdash, they fashioned a menorah out of iron. According to many opinions, what they did was, they took their spears, took off like the top, which is the blade part of the spears, fastened them together, and made that into a menorah. That was the first year Chanukah. The first time the miracle did not occur with a menorah shalzav. It did not occur with a beautiful menorah made out of solid block of gold. It did not occur with the menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu or the menorah of Shlomo HaMelech. It occurred with a menorah that was fashioned from the spears that were just used to fight a war on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Meaning, imagine for a moment if the Chashmonaim would have come into the Beis HaMikdash and paskin like Beis Hillel. What would have happened if they would have paskin like Beis Hillel? What would have happened? There would have been no Chanukah. Right? First of all, they could have used Tamei oil. That's a different discussion, right? But there would have been no Chanukah. Because if you think about it, remember again, were they obligated to light the menorah when they came into the Beis HaMikdash? Were they obligated? No. There's no menorah. There's no oil. They're not obligated. They're not obligated. They submitted to a state of ridiculous disrepair. There was no obligation. And one could have made the cogent argument that, you know what? Let's clean this place up. Let's get a menorah. Let's replenish our supply of oil. And let's rekindle the menorah in a way that when we start it, we could sustain it. You see, remember again, when they lit the menorah that night, they were not banking on any kind of miracle. They just assumed, what did they assume was going to happen? We'll kindle for one night, and then what? It'll go out, and then?
Wait.
That's it. One could have made a very convincing argument that, hey, Cheshmonoim, I have a better idea. Let's not kindle the menorah. Let's rededicate, let's purify, let's clean up a little bit. In the meantime, we'll go ahead and over the next course of the week, we'll make some new oil. Maybe we'll scrape together some gold for a menorah. Let's figure something out so that when we start, we could sustain it. As opposed to doing something one night, that's it, and then for the next week you're out. But the Cheshmonoim, Kiviyachol, paskind like Beis Hillel. They said, you know what? We just got to get this started. We just have to kindle something. Because you can't in life wait for the perfect moment. You have to make the present moment perfect. Sometimes you just have to kindle the candle. Sometimes you just have to do something. Sometimes you just have to get started. And even though, again, I don't know if I could sustain it. And even though I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, you just have to start somewhere. And of course, this is the incredible message of Hanukkah for us as well. Because the Yom Tov of Hanukkah represents, you know, in Hasidic literature, so Hanukkah is often likened to Rosh Hashanah. And just like Rosh Hashanah is an opportunity for a new beginning, so Hanukkah is an opportunity for a new beginning as well. A new rededication. It was the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. It was the dedication even before that of the Mizbeach. And now it's the rededication of the self. When we rededicate ourselves, we don't paskin like Beis Shammai. Although it's a pure form, we don't paskin that you have to get all 8 candles lit. Just light something. Just do something. Just move yourself forward. Move your life forward in some way. I don't know if I could sustain it. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just worry about now. Just worry about today. Kindle your candle. And Beis Hillel tells us, Ma'alin Bakodesh. What we know is if I light one candle today, hopefully I'll be able to go ahead and light 2 tomorrow. Is it perfect? No, not perfect. But sometimes producing a little bit of imperfect light is better than producing no light at all. The halacha paskin is like Beis Hillel of Biyom Rishon Madlik Achos Mikan Ve'ilich Mosif Aholich. We light one candle and try to add on to that light one. And by the way, I want to show you something amazing. And what happens if tonight you don't light 2 but you only light 1? What's the halacha? Are you Yotze?
Yes.
Yes. Because sometimes it's hard to add on. And sometimes the best thing I can do is maybe just go ahead and maintain 1 candle today, 1 candle tomorrow, and maybe I'll get to light another candle on night number 4. That's okay. That's okay. As long as you're lighting something. Hanukkah offers us the opportunity to rededicate ourselves. And when rededicating ourselves, don't wait for the perfect moment. Take the opportunity, there's opportunities that are in front of you, as imperfect as they may be, light them up, kindle them, and create beautiful light. All right, we'll stop over here for today. We'll continue with Hanukkah on Wednesday.